1 Corinthians 15 says, verse number 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You can be seated. Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for giving us. Thank you for taking care of us today. Lord, I pray you help us in the service now. I pray you had me on the cross, Lord, and to give you the message that you've given to me. Lord, I pray you challenge the congregation the way you've challenged me. Lord, I pray you use it this morning. Thank you for all you've done for us in Jesus' name. Amen. I've had this verse on my heart for a couple of days now. I went to sleep with it on my mind Friday night, and I woke up Saturday morning still thinking the same thing. This word of steadfast, this thought of being faithful and being steadfast, the Lord's challenged me with it. I want to be faithful. I want to stand no matter the cost. I want to do what I'm supposed to do. In 2020, we need some Christians that will stand up and be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Our nation needs some people that are willing to stand for the things of God. In 2020, we need some Christians that will stand up and be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Our nation today needs some people that are willing to stand for the things of God. If God were to examine our lives, would this be a character trait that he finds? Would he find us faithful? I don't know about you, but my prayer, my aim is to remain steadfast. I know I mentioned that a couple times here lately. I don't want to waver. Firm on my conviction. Stand for what's right. We need some men and ladies today willing to take a stand for God and for the church. Are you willing to be steadfast? Back when I was growing up, went to Christian school, moved to homeschooling, and in North Carolina, you had to have your own school name and send records and complicate. Anyway, had to come up with a name. My parents couldn't decide on a name for our homeschool. It's an important thing, they thought, the name. So we're doing devotions one morning, we came across that the Marines' motto is the name of the devotion, Semper Fi, Semper Fidelis, always faithful. And it burdened my parents' heart, and they named our Christian school Forever Faithful Christian School, or homeschool. And it's always stuck with me, forever faithful, steadfast. We need some Christians today that need some members of New Hope Baptist Church that will decide they're going to be always faithful, steadfast. They're going to be unmovable, always abandoning the work of the Lord. I believe there may be a time in our future we have to take a hard stand. We're going to have to decide to live for God or to make everybody else happy. What is it going to be? You better decide now before it gets to the hard part. Decide now before you crumble when it comes. The more I thought on this, I had a man in the Bible come to my mind. And many examples of faithfulness in the Bible, many men you can look to, look at Paul and different men and the scriptures of faithfulness, many examples. But one that stands out, and he was faithful his entire life. We don't hear anything else about him not being faithful ever. He didn't care the enemy or the size of the enemy. He didn't care his age or his ability. He trusted God and God's strength. He remained faithful. And that man is Caleb. Go ahead and turn to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. I'll give you a little timeline here while you're turning. The children of Israel, they've crossed over Jordan. They've walked around Jericho. They have conquered. The Lord has helped them to knock down the walls of Jericho for them. They have fought a lot of battles once they got inside Canaan land. Some they've won. Some they've compromised and let people live that they should have died. They've sinned. They've done wrong. Lord's judge. They have had enemies now inside the camp. They've been to battle. Lord's blessed over and over again. We see the process of them battling and conquering the people that are in the land that God has given them. Most of the battling that is done by this point here, at least this part in time, they get to the part of their story where they're finally dividing up the inheritance and passing out the land deeds, if you will, to the land of Canaan. There's still some enemies here and there, but they've conquered most of the enemies, and they're passing out the inheritance of who gets what land, what tribes get what portion of Canaan land. And then we get to Joshua chapter 14, and verse number 6, and we see Caleb getting his portion. It says, then the children of Judah, the tribe Caleb's part of, came into Joshua Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Caleb said, hey, Joshua, you remember what Moses told me and you before, back there, way back in Kadesh Barnea, where we were spies into the land of Canaan. We came back out. We told him what we saw. He gave us a promise. He gave me and you a promise. Verse 7, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Caleb said, it's been a while. It's been 45 years now since Moses made this promise. I am 85 years old, and I'm still looking for that same promise. Verse 11, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Realize, 85-year-old man is still as strong as he was when he was 40 years old. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. 85-year-old man walks up to Joshua and he says, I don't care if I have to go to war. I want that land. It was mine. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Yeah, Joshua, I'm 85 years old now, but the Lord told me I could have it. I'm just as strong now as I was back then. If the Lord is be with me, I'll drive them out now, just like I could have drove them out back then. Just let me have it. Verse 13. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. The name of Hebron before was Kirjath-Jarba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and Lord had land had rest from war. Lord, so I'm going to preach just a little while and look at this life of Caleb here for a few minutes and get some of the highlights in Caleb's life. I can't cover the whole thing and preach on this subject. I want that mountain. Notice verse 8 and 9 again with me, verse that we just read, verse 8 and 9. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 9, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely, Lord, the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God, Lord my God. What was different about Caleb? He wholly followed the Lord his God. What made Caleb steadfast? He wholly followed the Lord his God. You know what that word holy means? It means holy, completely, to be full of, to fill up. It means Caleb was filled up with God so much, there wasn't any room for anything else. He was full of God. What made Caleb want that mountain? He was filled up with God. Notice one more verse with you real quick before we dive in this message. Verse 7, 40 years old was I when Moses, servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. What is Caleb talking about here? We know the story of the 12 spies, and you've heard that for a long time. And we're going to be looking at them again here in a minute. But Caleb, he came back with a different report than the 10 other guys that came with him, other than him and Joshua. You know what happened? He had Canaan land in his heart. It says in verse 7, as it was in my heart. We see Caleb not only got into Canaan land, but Canaan land got into Caleb. We have preached many times here lately mentioned how Canaan is always a picture of the Spirit-filled Christian life. It's a picture of being in the perfect center of God's will for your life. Living for God. Some say it's a picture of heaven. Canaan land is not a picture of heaven. I'm glad it's not, because there's battles in Canaan land. I'm glad there's no battles in heaven. It's a picture of the Spirit-filled Christian life. It's a picture of victory. What do we see? We see victory. It's God's providential hand in the life of his people. Over and over again, he provided. He protected. Sometimes he judged. And they decided to follow their own direction. If we can not only get into Canaan land, but let Canaan land get into us, it'll give you a taste you'll never get rid of for the rest of your life. You experience one time when it's like to be filled up with the Holy Ghost of God, you'll never be the same. You experience one time when it's like to be in the center of God's will, you'll have a taste of it until the day you die. You always desire it. Caleb got a taste, an appetite for Canaan, and he never got rid of. 85 years old, he's still wanting that mountain. But the Lord said, I can preach a few minutes on that mountain. Number one, we see Caleb's commission, the job he was given. Turn to Numbers chapter 13. And hold your place here, and Joshua will be back there later on. Numbers chapter 13. It says, Numbers 13, verse 3, and Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names of the tribe of Reuben, Shammah, son of Zechar, and skip down to verse number 6, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Skip down to verse number 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, what cities they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came up to Hebron, where Ahiam, Shishai, and Talmah, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came into the brook of Eshtrol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place is called the brook Eshtrol, because of the cluster of grapes the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching land after 40 days. Notice verse 17. Moses says, you go up into that mountain. They call these 12 men together, each one representing a tribe, and Caleb's representing his tribe of Judah there to come together. Moses gets them together, gives them this list of things he wants them to check for. He says, you go up into that mountain. In verse 22, they ascended by the south and came into Hebron. What is Hebron? That's the place we just read about over in Joshua chapter 14. That's Caleb's land he's going to be given. This place, 85 years old Caleb said he still wanted. Place for these giants. Caleb's first trip in the Canaan land as a 40-year-old man. He saw the grapes. He saw the giants. He saw the land. He saw what God had for them there. And he said, this is home. He said, this is where I want to be. A 40-year-old man, he said, I want this Hebron, this mountain, this Hebron I'm going to. This is where I want to be. You know what Hebrew name, you know the Hebrew name Hebron, you know what it means. It means a place of association. It means a place of fellowship. Caleb experienced a fellowship with God that he had never experienced before. He decided right then and there, it's where he wanted to be. It's where he wanted to spend his life. It's where he wanted to raise his family. He wanted to be in a place of close, intimate fellowship. He got close to God. He never lost a taste of it. He experienced a close, intimate fellowship with God Almighty. A place of Hebron, picture of fellowship. He experienced Hebron. He was finally where God promised him they would be. He's finally back in the place God has given to his people. He said, this is it. This is where I want to be. I want this mountain. I promise you, church, you ever get in that close, intimate fellowship with God Almighty, you won't be happy until you're back in it again. You get a taste for it. There's nothing like serving the Lord. There's nothing like pouring your heart out to God and having him wrap his arms up around you, being in close, intimate fellowship with him, him loving you and blessing you and using you. If you ever step foot on that mountain, you're not going to be happy until you get it back. Have you ever experienced that before? If not, you don't know what you're missing. I believe I know what we're missing in our day and age. I believe I know what most Christians are missing in our churches. Not all, but most. You say, preacher, what is that? It's an appetite for Canaan land. We've lost our appetite for Canaan. We've lost our desire to have a close, intimate fellowship with God Almighty. We've lost our desire to have a relationship with God. We have so many other things that fill up our time, so many other distractions. We lose track of where we're going and what we ought to be doing. We are so consumed with life and with this world, and we misplace our appetite for spending time with God. We're happy coming to church and punching our time clock and going home. We're happy making ourselves feel good and patting ourselves on the back. We have lost our appetite for Canaan land, consumed with life. Do you have an appetite for Canaan? Do you want that mountain? Is it in your heart? Is it in Caleb's heart? You say, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. That sounds good. No, I don't know what you're talking about. James 4:8, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, your sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. You get up close to God, he'll get up close to you. You remove everything else. You say, I don't know what you're talking about. Why don't you go home and try it? You remove everything else. Notice Caleb, he had to leave the wilderness behind in order to experience Canaan land. He couldn't be in the wilderness in Hebron at the same time. You remove this old world, these old sin, this old flesh, these old habits. Get him out of your life. Get as close to God as you can. He'll move a little closer. You get closer to him, he'll move a little closer. You are the only thing that limits how close to God you can be. Amen. You're the only thing standing between you and God. It's up to you. He made a promise. He said, you draw now, I'll draw now. He's not too busy. He's got all the time in the Word. He makes the time. We're the one consumed by time. He has the time. We see Caleb's commission. His commission was to go forth into the land of Canaan and search it out. I challenge you, go search it out. Go see what it's like. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Lay aside this old wilderness. Go search out Canaan. See what it's like. See what's there. I promise you, if you ever get a taste of Hebron, if you ever get a taste of the fellowship with God, you'll desire it the rest of your life. You ever get an appetite for Canaan land, you'll never be the same without it. I believe Caleb got a taste of those big grapes of Eshtol. I believe he tasted them. He saw the land. He saw the mountain. He desired those. He said those two men had carried one cluster of grapes on a staff. That's how big they were. He desired it. He wanted it back again. He saw the land. He saw the mountains. He saw the streams. He saw his home. He saw where he wanted to be. He experienced a place of fellowship with God. A Christian, a church member, when's the last time you experienced a fellowship with God? I'm not talking about coming to church and praying and prayer. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking personal, close, intimate, at home, by yourself, fellowship with God Almighty. When's the last time you experienced that? When's the last time you experienced Hebron? We see Caleb's commission. We see Caleb's comeback. Verse 26, Numbers 13. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel and to the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them. And all the congregation showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Kenites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. They say, yeah, we have this land of milk and honey. There's these big grapes of fruit, and the grapes and the pomegranate, these big, great things. But there's scary people there. There's Anakims, there's giants, and there's Thesites, and Nozites, and Hittites, and Jebusites, and Amorites, all these enemies. Verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. He didn't say, let's go fight. He said, let's go take it. Let's go possess it. Let's go build our houses. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people they saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in their own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. What happened? The spies went in there for 40 days in Canaan. They saw the sights, they saw the people. They came back to Moses with a report. 10 of them with an evil report. They said, we went in, we saw the land of milk and honey is definitely great. You said it was great, it is. But the people there are strong. The children of Anak are there, the giants are there, the children of Anak, the Amalekites, and all those different enemies. Caleb said, y'all calm down. It's okay. He said, let's go up and possess it. Not, he knows his confidence. He says, let's just go take it. He said, come on now, let's go take it. Let's take it. Let me have that mountain. He said, we are just grasshoppers in those giant size. They have a grasshopper complex. Who told them they look like grasshoppers? Nobody. They decided themselves they look like grasshoppers. He said, Moses, we can't do it. Let me ask you something. Did they see the same thing that Caleb saw? Did Caleb and those men not go up and witness the same sights? They not both see the same grapes, probably taste the same grapes, not see the same springs and the same mountains, the same rivers. They might not both see the same mountains. Then why is there two different opinions coming out of Canaan land? If all 12 saw the same thing, why are 10 with one opinion, 2 with another opinion? I'll tell you why. Joshua 14:7, it says, for 40 years was I when I was Moses, when Moses, servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Again, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Why was it different with Caleb and Joshua? Because it was in their heart. Because they wholly followed the Lord their God. They were filled up with God, and God put it in their heart. Why is it some folks come into the house of God, and they can walk out and never change a thing? They can come into a service, and God can be working, and all they see is the distractions. And they go to lunch, and you talk about the kids that were loud, or the preacher that had his tie on crooked, or whatever. And you're mad at so-and-so, or upset about this and that, and this didn't go my way. But other people come to the same house of God in the same service, hear the same preaching, the same singing, and yet they go home, help and challenge. The Lord uses them, blesses them. What's the difference? It's in their heart. They're wholly following the Lord their God. I admit it, I'm no good preacher. I never claimed to be. I really scraped the bottom of the barrel when you got me. I'm sorry. No, I did. Anyway, but despite me, I promise I'm doing my best to find what the Lord wants me to have for you, despite my shortcomings. If you are here looking for God's help, he's going to help you. If God can use a donkey to help Balaam, surely he can use a dumb, fat preacher to help the church. It's not about the preacher. It's not about the music. It's not about the grapes. It's not about the river. It's about the heart. Do you want that mountain? Do you really want to be in a close, intimate fellowship with God? What are you looking for? It's not about me. You say, I don't like you, preacher. That's okay. It's not about me. What are you looking for? What's in your heart? Yeah. Caleb, Joshua, other 10 all went into Canaan land together. They're all given the same list of things to look for, the same checklist to look for. 10 of the guys found what they wanted. 2 of them found what God wanted. What do you come to church looking for? They both saw the same thing. They had the completely different opinions on what they saw. The only difference was their heart. Those 10 spies, they got to touch the things of Canaan. They got to feel the green grass of Canaan. They got to see the milk and the honey flowing in Canaan land. It's all this big grace. For 40 days, they got to experience Canaan land. But guess what? They never went back. Some folks down here, they get to experience church. They come to church and they hear for the music, and they come, they get to hear the preaching. They come and they get to experience God moving sometimes, and they may even cry over the missionary's pictures when he comes by, and they get to experience Canaan, they get to experience church, but they'll go home and never experience it anymore. But for the saved person that's sold out to God and sold out and set apart for God and filled up, wholly filled with God, you get to get down on their knees on Monday morning, experience the same thing again, and Tuesday morning, whenever during the day, get experience the same thing again, and Wednesday, get experience the same thing again. You get to experience Hebron over and over and over again. What's the difference, preacher? Those two had it in their heart. They wholly followed the Lord their God. I can study all I want to and preach all I want to, but if you don't come looking for something, if you're not come filled up with God, filled with the Spirit of God, you're just going to see the giants, you see the distractions and this problem and that problem. What's in your heart? Can I encourage you this morning, Christian, are you wholly following the Lord my God? If not, it's not too late to start. I'm so glad we don't have to depend on the priest and to get us in touch with heaven. We don't have to depend on somebody else to get us in touch with. After Jesus was crucified, the veil and the temple was rent in twain. We were able to walk into the temple as kings and priests unto God, it says. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. You get to personally have a relationship with him. You can personally walk into Hebron in the fellowship with him. It's not about me. Are you listening? Are you filled with him? You don't have to wait until church time to spend time with God. What are you waiting for? All 12 saw the same Canaan. Only two came back to Canaan. Maybe you're sitting there, you're saying, well, preacher, that's all well and good, but that's just not for me. Yeah, I'm saved, but I'm satisfied being mediocre. I'm as close to God as I'm satisfied being saved. I'm saved, I get to go to heaven. I'm glad for eternal security, I get to go to heaven. I don't have to worry about anything else. I'm satisfied with that. Do you realize that these 10 spies were the only reason the entire million or so Jews spent the next 40 years in the wilderness? The entire nation of Jews spent their next 40 years, many of them died off. Because of those 10 men and their lack of belief, lack of faith. Those 10 spies are the reason Caleb didn't get to see Hebron until he's 85 years old. It wasn't his fault. It was their fault. Your mediocre Christianity can influence people. It can change the heart of the entire nation. It said their heart did melt because of those 10's opinion of Canaan land. The nation of Israel chose to listen to 10 spies instead of Joshua and Caleb. Be careful with your influence. You want the church to go on and do more for God. Make sure your mediocrity is not standing in the way. You say, I'm close to God as I want to be. You better be careful with that. You say, well, I'm only affecting myself. I wouldn't be so sure. These changes changed the course of an entire nation. These opinions changed the course of an entire nation. I believe our nation today is in the condition it's in because of sin, number one. Because of the mediocrity of Christianity in our country. Mediocrity of our churches, our apathy is affecting our nation. You don't believe it? Look around you. The few churches in the South that are standing up are being criticized left and right, being torn down for their stand. The majority are bowing down to the giants. Be careful with your influence. You see, he said Caleb's comeback. He said, there's in my heart. He said, I want to be there. He said, there's giants there. He said, let's go possess it. What's in your heart? You see Caleb's conquest. Turn back to Joshua chapter 14 again. Joshua 14. Now we have read these verses. I'm going to read a couple of to you again. Verse 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I'm this day 85 years old. As yet I am strong this day as I was in that day when Moses sent me, and my strength was then, and even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. And therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced, and so be the Lord be with me, and I should be able to drive the mountain, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave it to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. The name of Hebron for is Kirjath-Jearba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Caleb now, he's going back to the wilderness. He spent 45 more years salivating over Hebron. They come back to Canaan. They conquer. They are passing out their inheritance. Caleb speaks up. Joshua, remember, Caleb is 85 years old. He says, hey, Josh, remember what Moses promised me all those years ago? He said, I still want it. Caleb said God said he would do it then. I believe he can still do it now. Yeah, I'm old, but I still have my strength. Why is that? I believe God allowed Caleb to retain his strength so he could have Hebron. I believe that. Caleb said, I want that mountain. God said, I'll let you have it. Giants or no, Giants' word said he would do it for me. I want it. Caleb could have taken another inheritance, left the giants alone on top of that mountain, could have taken the easy land, the south land. He said, oh, no, God promised that mountain. I want Hebron. Be careful, our older saints of God in here. Be careful you don't slack off in your elder years. Brother John, your son just got saved. I've been here a little bit over a year. I've heard you pray every week since I've been here for your son. And I know you've been praying for decades for your son. I've only been here for a year. Let me ask you something. What would happen if you quit? Mrs. Joyce, you're in here. You got those grandkids. What would happen if you quit on God now? Okay, so I don't care how old I am. I still want it, Lord. I still want to be close to you. I still want that mountain. I still want that close fellowship with you. We need some older Christians that will just remain steadfast. My pastor calls them the backlog Christians. The ones that they're big logs in the back. They just sit there and they smolder and they keep the fire going and they throw the flames back on the little sticks to keep them burning and light those up. They just keep on smoldering and smoldering. Keep on burning. We need some older backlog Christians. Just keep on burning. You get up close to some of the younger Christians and get them on fire for the Lord. Encourage them. Don't quit. Notice verse 14. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb. Why? Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. 45 years later, Caleb still trusting in the same God he's trusting in when he's 40. Still following the same God. God still answers his prayer and lets him have his Hebron. Still not convinced. I'll show you one more thing that I think might change your mind. You say, well, preacher, I'm just not seeing the importance of this. Yes, great and all, but we can live in the lower land just because we live in Hebron. What's the difference? What's the point? I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Why does it matter how close to God I am now? Maybe you think it just isn't for you. Lastly, turn to Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1. We've seen Caleb's commission, Caleb's comeback, Caleb's conquest. Lastly, we'll look at Caleb's children. Judges 1, verse number 10. And Judah, Judges 1, verse number 10. And Judah went against the Canaanites that dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron before was Kirjath-Jearba, and they slew Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmah, those giants, and killed them. And from thence he went against the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sepher. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sepher and taketh it, to him will I give Aksel, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Aksel, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, when she came to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted from off her ass. And Caleb said to her, what wilt thou? Listen to this. And she said unto him, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. And gather what just happened there. Judah, the people of Caleb, they got Hebron. It's inherited. They've come into Hebron. They've conquered the people. They've killed those giants off. It's three giants immense there. They killed them off. And Caleb said, whatever man conquers the enemy in this Debir, the Kirjath-Sepher, he said, you conquered the enemy there, I'll give you my daughter to wife. His nephew conquers and gives him, I know it's weird, different time there. He gives him his daughter, gives him the land as well. Caleb's daughter comes back to her father. She said, Caleb, she says, father, you have given the south land. Give me also the upper springs. Give me also the other land. You know what she said? Daddy, give me that mountain. Yeah. I wonder where she learned that from. You think all those years, maybe she or Caleb saying something about those springs he saw back in Canaan land. She said, I have the fields. I want the springs too. Imagine he dreamed about it. Imagine he talked about it. He's been raising his children for 45 years thinking about Hebron back there. Imagine he probably told his children a thing or two about it. His daughter gets old enough to marry, and what does she want? She said, I'm not happy with the south land. I want those springs. Give me the upper springs, the lower springs. Daddy, give me that mountain. Father, mother, your desire to live close to God, your desire to live close to God will inevitably affect your children. You want God to use your children. You want God to see. You want to see the desire in the hearts of your children to serve God. Then you serve God. I never met a saved parent that didn't want their children to live for God. It's natural. Of course you do. You want them to live it and make it real to them. I imagine K Caleb grew up, his daughter grew up there, hearing daddy talking about those springs back in Canaan he saw when he was a spy there, and he talked about those grapes that he got to eat, and he talked about the springs and how refreshing it was and how God promised it to him. Imagine she heard a thing or two about it, and she grew up and she said, I don't want that Southland. She said, I don't want that, ma'am. You want your children to live it, make it real to them, make it worth it to them. Show them how precious it is to live for God. Show them how it's worth it to live for God. Show them how it's worth fighting for. You want your children to be wholly trusting in your God, then you better be wholly trusting in your God. You want it in your children's heart. Let them see it in your heart. We see that Caleb made quite the impact on his daughter. We talked a lot about Elimelech and over there in the book of Ruth and the negative effect he had on his two sons. Now, I told you before, it's good enough for daddy, it's good enough for us. We have the opposite example here. It's not good enough for daddy, it's not good enough for us, not good enough for me. What about it, church? You want that mountain? You want to live in close fellowship with God Almighty? You want to be as close to God as you can be? What are you waiting for? It's not up to me. I can't do it for you. It's up to you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. If you don't want to be that close to God, consider the consequences. You say, if I get close to God, maybe I have to give this up, and I have to give that up. Consider the consequences. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, if you would. Somebody looking around. I'll give you a chance this morning. If you're here today, you would say, preacher, I know 100% sure, without a doubt, if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I know where I'd be. Do you have that assurance this morning? If you can say that, just slip your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you or anything. It's good to know. Good to be able to say that. Is anyone here that say, preacher, not me. But out of right now, I don't know 100% sure where I would be. I don't know where I would go. I hope I go to heaven, but I don't know for sure. Maybe this is all new to you. You've never heard about this stuff before. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to point you out or call your name. I just want to pray for you. Anyone here this morning say, preacher, pray for me. I don't know if I'm saved or not. One more question. Is anyone here today that say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I am. But I don't know if I'm living in Canaan land or not. I don't know if I'm completely sold out to God or not. I want to be. I don't know, but I don't know if I am or not. Anyone here can get a little closer to God? And Abraham say, I just want to be a little closer. There's an altar down here that's open. You're welcome to come pray. I know it's different. I know it's embarrassing. It ain't about you. It ain't about embarrassing yourself. It's about the Lord. You want to come down and pray this morning? Maybe somebody here needs to be saved. Maybe you are saved. You just want to get closer to God than you were before. Maybe you just want that mountain. The altar is open. Man needs to do business with God.